Miraj un Nabi, special things did our beloved Prophet see. Miraj un Nabi, Miraj un Nabi, the leader Imamul Anbiya was he.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, was salatu was salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'ad. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 50 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, once again we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this silsila in relation with Mi'raj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Blessings of Mi'raj. Inshallah azza wa jal, in this silsila you will be able to hear about the journey of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid al-Aqsa towards the heavens and then towards the Arsh, and then vision of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and divine meeting which took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that after meeting with all the Prophets alayhi wa sallam at Masjid al-Aqsa and after all the proceedings at Masjid al-Aqsa, I was taken upward. When I reached the first heaven, which is known as sky of this world, Asman-e-Dunya, Jibreel Amin alayhi salam said to the gatekeeper of that sky that opened the door, he said, "Who is this?" Jibreel Amin alayhi salam replied, "It is Jibreel." The gatekeeper said, "Do you have someone with you?" Jibreel Amin alayhi salam replied, "Yes, I have Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with me." The gatekeeper said, "Is he being called?" Jibreel Amin alayhi salam said, "Yes." And the door was opened up, or the gate was opened up. We went on the first sky and we saw that a bondsman of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, was sitting there. He had some people towards his right hand side and he had some people towards his left hand side. When he sees towards the right hand side, he gets happy. And when he sees towards the left hand side, he becomes sad. And he said that, "Welcome to you, O pious Nabi, and welcome to you, O son of a pious." I said to Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, "Who is this?" He replied, "He is Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Towards his right hand side are the souls and the ruhs of his children who are pious. And towards his left hand side are the souls of his children who are sinners, not pious or disbelievers." And when he sees towards the right hand side, he gets happy. And when he sees towards left hand side, he becomes sad.
Mufti Sahib, here the angels were asking Jibreel alayhi salam, that who is with him? Did they not know such a glorious occasion that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah, is coming? Did they not have no understanding and knowledge of this?
Angels did know that Miraj is going to take place. There was preparation.
Yes.
So this asking does not indicate on not knowing.
Okay.
Actually, this indicates on the greatness of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because certain gates or doors in the heavens are specially designed and made for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only.
Allah.
Not even for Jibreel Amin alayhi salam. So the angels wanted to make sure that that special personality for whose sake these gates are made, is he coming or not? So after they made sure, they opened the gates.
So
that is actually the reason.
Further, Mufti Sahib had mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salam had took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam towards the heavens, the first sky of the dunya. Now, in our understanding, this is the atmosphere. And as in scientific terms, or in the scientific world, when they are sending space shuttles up into space, and it crosses the atmosphere, or it enters the atmosphere, there's actually a burn-up. The heat is so intense, whatever object is there, whether it's an asteroid coming from space, a meteorite, or space junk, it burns it up in order to protect the earth. So here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any apparatus, any oxygen tanks, any thermal protection systems where his body could withstand this intense heat. The ruhaniya and the glory of Allah azza wa jal, the blessings of Allah azza wa jal, without these things here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comfortably went and came back piercing through that atmosphere.
Again, that indicates on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being very special, not like me and you.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So those things can affect you and me,
Ji.
Not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And secondly, keep in mind that we have been discussing
Ji.
Many a times in our silsilas,
Ji.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, He is all powerful.
Subhanallah. Absolutely.
So whatever He decides and He wishes, that happens. Ji. So this we're talking about the nature of things, and those natures are granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ji.
So for the safety and the security of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if any particular nature of something is harmful,
Ji.
Then that would be taken away for that while, for that time.
Yes.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can pass through that danger zone
Ji.
With safety, with security.
Mufti Sahib, with sophisticated materials, even with advanced equipments, technologies and instruments, scientists today are exploring the moon, Mars or different other planets. And they even say today that in the very near future, they will be able to place human beings on certain planets to live there. And today there is a scramble for actually buying plots on the moon or buying plots on different planets. The super 1% ultra rich, they have already invested and bought certain plots in space of different planets as well. There's a very interesting note that in Surah Hadid, verse 25, Allah Azza wa Jalla states that وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ, that and we sent down iron. Today, science is telling us that this iron, this metal, actually came from out of space. And here the Quran, so many years ago, more than 1400 years ago, has already revealed this. Subhanallah.
Well, as far as getting a plot on the moon and planning to reside and live there and making an investment, I had one of the Madani Muzakira of Amir Ahl Sunnat. He said that we will build a mosque every way,
inshallah. Fezan-e-Madina.
Fezan-e-Madina. So if it is possible,
Ji.
to live and reside on moon, then inshallah we'll go and put up Fazan-e Madina.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah.
Put up masajid.
Inshallah.
And somebody phoned and he said that if you have plan to buy a plot on the moon to put up a masjid and Fazan-e Madina, then I pledge 1 crore rupee.
Allah.
So, inshallah.
Inshallah.
If that happens and if that is practical, feasible, then why not?
In fact, Mustafa, there is a Quranic verse that indicates or alludes to the fact that human beings, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling mankind and the jinn kind, that if you are able to, then you can pierce through the atmosphere and go into space. And you can only do this with the authority of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is, there is here an allusion that human beings would go into out of space as well. And we see today, Mufti Sahab, with the satellites that are there in space, their power, the scientists claim that with the power of the satellites in space, they're even able to see small pieces of paper on Earth from there, from out of space. Even if it's in a cave, they can see these pieces of paper. What about our beloved Aqa, our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was his powers and abilities given by Allah Azza wa Jalla?
Yes, his powers and abilities and attributes are beyond any measurement.
Subhanallah.
And inshallah, his knowledge and his vision and his power of seeing, we will discuss inshallah in our discourse.
Inshallah.
Well, after the first heaven or first sky, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the second one, and there he met with Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. They both are cousins.
Alhamdulillah.
And then on the third heaven, third sky, he met with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And then on the fourth sky, he met with Hazrat Idris alayhi salam.
Subhanallah.
And on the fifth sky, he met with Hazrat Harun alayhi salam.
Subhanallah.
And on the sixth heaven, he met with Hazrat Musa alayhi salam.
Subhanallah.
And on the seventh heaven, he met with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
We could not go into the details. Actually, they all met, they all gave dua, they all welcomed, and they all praised our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I saw Ibrahim alayhi salam in such condition that he was sitting against Baitul Ma'mur.
Allah.
And Baitul Ma'mur is that place where every day 70,000 angels enter.
Subhanallah.
And those who have chance once, they will never have chance again.
Allah.
And that also tells you the quantity and the number of angels which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created with His light. Baitul Ma'mur is a house in heavens, house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Baitul Ma'mur is in line with Ka'batullah.
Subhanallah.
Exactly straight upwards in line.
Subhanallah.
Ulama Ikram have said that if Baitul Ma'mur falls down straight, it doesn't move this way or that way, it will fall exactly on the walls of Ka'batullah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Baitul Ma'mur.
Subhanallah.
And then Hazrat Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam said that, Ya Rasulullah, give my salam to your ummat and tell them that the soil of Jannat is very pure and Jannat is very wide. They should plant many trees in Jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, how can they plant trees in Jannat? So Ibrahim alayhi salam replied, they should recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And in another narration it is said that they should recite Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. So this was wonderful advice and well-wishing of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam for the ummat of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I saw a jamaat, a group of people next to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam who were fair in color and they had beautiful color, and I saw another group who were darkened in color or in complexion. And then this jamaat which were darkened in color, they went and they had a ghusl, bath in a river, and then some blackness got erased, or got moved. And then they came again and then they showered again or they had bath again. And then complete blackness was gone. And they also became white color as the first group was. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who are these people who are white color and then others dark colors, and then they went and they showered and they had bath and then their color was also changed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that these are the children of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam who are pious, who are holy.
Subhanallah.
So they symbolize that white color. So white color is a symbol there. And these who have dark colors, they are sinners. But then they go and make tawbah. Some of their sins are forgiven. And then they go and make tawbah. Then their whole sins, completely their sins are forgiven. And they also become like the other group. So here there is an indication that although we are sinners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from committing sins and make us pious. But we are weak. We end up committing wrong here and there. It doesn't matter how much we try to avoid. But we should not leave the weapon of tawbah. We should continue making tawbah always. As it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah. At-taibu min al-dhambi kaman la dhamba lahu.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
A repenter is a person as if he has not committed a sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases that person's sin who makes tawbah, who repents. Then from the seventh heaven, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved towards Sidratul Muntaha.
Allahu Akbar.
He saw many wonders. It is in Bukhari Sharif and in Muslim Sharif, also in Mishkat Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then I was taken to Sidratul Muntaha.
Subhanallah.
And Sidra is actually a berry tree. And its fruits are equal to the size of big jar.
Allah.
And its leaves are equal to the size of elephant's ears.
Allah.
Jibreel Amin alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, this is Sidratul Muntaha.
Subhanallah. Mufti Sahib, this area, Sidratul Muntaha, what is the meaning of this? Does it have any meaning?
Sidra is actually a tree. And Muntaha means place of ending.
Okay.
Like we say border. So that place is a border for all those who live under Sidratul Muntaha. and it is border for all those who live above Sidratul Muntaha. So those who live above, they don't have permission to come down.
Okay.
And those who live under Sidratul Muntaha, they don't have permission to go above that point. So it's a border actually. Muntaha means border. So Sidra is like a sign of that border. You have borders between countries. Maybe there's a river. That is a sign of border. There's a mountain. That is sign of border between two countries. So that tree is the sign of border. That's why it is called Sidratul Muntaha.
Also, Mufti Sahib, here we are saying that the people from, or the beings above cannot come below, the beings below cannot go above. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went beyond that and came back down. So how do we understand this?
He is different. He is unique. He cannot be compared.
Not a normal human being.
He's not normal human being.
Okay.
But the laws are different for him.
Ji.
He is beloved of Almighty Allah.
Subhanallah.
So, as I explained, the law is that all those who live under that point cannot go above.
Ji.
So the one who can go above, it means he is not like those who live under that point. And if he can come down from that point, it means that there is no one who is like him above that point. So this is what we say, and this is the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is be misal be misal. That there is no one like him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him be mithl.
There's also a very amazing narration. Dawud Islami's publisher, Maktabatul Madina, has published this book, Sirat Mustafa. And the reference is to Tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani. And Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ala'i rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi has stated in his tafsir, his commentary, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the Buraq from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, and by stairs of Nur, that is stairs made out of light, from Bayt al-Maqdis, Masjid al-Aqsa, to the first sky. Thereafter, on the wings of angels, from the first sky to the seventh sky. Thereafter, by the wings of Jibra'il alayhi salam, from the seventh sky to Sidratul Muntaha, and by Rafraf, from Sidratul Muntaha to Maqam Qaba Qusayn.
Yes, there are narrations which suggest all these different modes of transportation. And there's no harm in believing in those facts because they are mentioned in different books.
Yes.
Then, from Sidra, a new turn of journey takes place.
Allahu Akbar.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw many wonders at Sidratul Muntaha, and he started moving forward towards his destination. Jibril Amin alayhi salam stopped. Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Jibril Amin alayhi salam, "O Jibril, this is not the place to separate. At such occasion, a friend does not leave friend." Jibril Amin alayhi salam said, "Ya Rasulullah, if I move forward equal to the tip of a hair, my wings will be burnt, or I will be burnt with the manifestations of the light of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla." And when Jibril Amin alayhi salam was unable to move, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still moving forward. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibril Amin alayhi salam, "Do you have any hajat? Do you have any need?" Jibril Amin alayhi salam said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I have a need. That on the day of judgment, I should be given permission that I can spread my wings on the bridge of Sirat. and your ummah can cross the bridge with ease. That is my wish. So please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill that wish. Wow. What a wonderful wish. Because of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel Ameen has so much care and love for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for sinners like us. So inshallah azza wa jal, we are hopeful with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will get that chance and opportunity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show His fadl and allow Jibreel Ameen alayhi salam to spread his wings on the bridge of Sirat, so we can cross the bridge with ease.
On the night of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had said that I saw people who had nails made of copper and they were scratching their chests. I asked Jibreel ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, and who these people were? He said, these are those people who used to be in search of other people's secrets and tarnished their reputations. Today, Mufti Sahib, we have many people out there who assassinate other people's characters. Character assassination, we call this. Those who do this, they should take this as a warning, that how grave it is. Nails of copper and scratching their chest, what kind of a punishment is this that they will be able to bear? Shaykh Tariqat Amin al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, in his very beautiful Risala, his booklet entitled Oceanic Dome, quotes a beautiful hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, on the night of Mi'raj, I saw some people hanging upside down from branches of fire. I asked, O Jibreel, who are these people? He replied, these are the people who would curse their fathers and mothers in the world. Those who, today especially, who disrespect their parents, their mothers, their fathers, and cause hurt and harm to them, should take a lesson from this. How can we bear? In this world, we can't bear the fire of this world. What about the fire of the Akhirah?
These happenings and reports that we hear and read in the incident of Mi'raj is a lesson for us, is a lesson for the Ummah. And it shows that certain things which are indeed sins and wrongdoings, and we do it so bravely and not realizing the outcome of it. So in this way, when we renew the memories of Mi'raj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we learn and we revise these things as well, so we can be alert and be careful and not do those things which are harmful to ourselves. Respect of parents is very important in the deen of Islam, in our religion.
Absolutely.
And there is much emphasis in Quran Kareem and in ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jannat and Jahannam. It is mentioned in Sahih Muslim and also in Mishkat Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I was taken into Jannat and I saw there were domes made of pulse.
Allahu Akbar.
And its soil was of musk, or it smelled like musk, or maybe in reality it was musk.
Mufti Sahib, here we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to narrations or what we hear, then he saw many things in Jahannam. Now, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually enter into Jahannam? How did this take place?
No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not enter into Jahannam to see Jahannam or to know what is happening in Jahannam. Actually, there is a hadith mubarakah in Behki Sharif. It has been reported in Sirat-e-Halabi that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the hell was presented in front of me.
Okay.
And I saw the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His punishment and His revenge in the hell.
Allah.
And if a stone or a steel is put in Jahannam, Jahannam will eat it up, mean destroy it. So from here we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into Jannat physically to visit the Jannat. But although it would have been harmless for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if that happened, to go and see and visit the Jahannam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such arrangement which was befitting to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, for Jannat, he went into Jannat. And as far as the Jahannam is concerned, Jahannam was presented. In other words, the curtains which were there were removed. And from his place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, he could see Jahannam and he could see what was happening in Jahannam.
So even if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to physically go into Jahannam to see the happenings there, it wouldn't be a problem.
It wouldn't be like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam came into fire of Namrud. The Jahannam is also fire. So fire was not harmful for him. But I'm saying, even if he went, there should not have been an issue, a problem. But the fact of the matter is that in this way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dignified. That because that is a place of anger and azab and intiqam and revenge of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not taken physically in the Jahannam to see what is happening there.
There's a beautiful narration to help us even further understand this, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know, is unlike us. He's a special human being made from nur, from light. The narration says that on the day of judgment, when believers are passing on the sirat, on the bridge, and underneath is Jahannam, Jahannam would tell them that, "O believer, pass quickly, because your light is extinguishing my fire." This is a normal believer. What about the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Definitely. And then, from there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled with Raf Raf.
Subhanallah.
Buraq is left behind. And Raf Raf is a green color carpet.
Subhanallah.
And it's in the shape of a throne. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the Raf Raf, and it was so lightful, its light was so strong that even the light of sun would disappear in front of the light of Raf Raf. And it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then a green color Raf Raf was spread out for me. Its light was dominant over the light of sun. And my eyes were brightened up with that light. And I was kept on Raf Raf. Then I was lifted from Raf Raf till I reached Arsh-e Mu'alla, Arsh-e Azam. So I saw such wonderful thing. My eyes saw such wonderful thing which the tongues cannot describe. So, I mean, the Arsh of Allah, that is, that shows the majesty of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, His kingdom, His power. And it was so awesome and so beautiful that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that tongues cannot explain, tongues cannot express.
Subhanallah.
And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set on the arsh.
Subhanallah.
And one drop was put into the throat of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in Tafsir-e-Husayni. And it is quoted with the reference of Bahrul Haqqaiq, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the night of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the knowledge of ma kana wa ma yakunu.
Allahu Akbar.
When that drop was put into the throat of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَعَلِمْتُ بِهَا مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ. So with that, I came to know what has happened and what is going to happen. In the journey of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gifted with too many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
So whereas we have counted many others, so ilme ma kana wa ma yakunu was also bestowed upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night of Mi'raj.
Subhanallah. And Mufti Sahib, these places, there is no time, there is no real place in these kind of areas. The how far they are, the speed of the buraq, rough, these conveyances, we can't understand.
Actually, there is no measurement.
Ji.
Things that we have, like the speed of light,
Ji.
These things that are here in universe, they exist.
Ji.
We face them day and night. And there is knowledge Ji. To measure them, to measure their sizes, to measure their speeds, Ji. To measure the lights of the things, etc. But as far as buraq is concerned, as far as rough is concerned,
yes.
and their speeds are concerned, and then the speed of prophethood on its own.
Allah.
Because all the prophets alayhi salam were in Masjid al-Aqsa, and they performed the namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the heavens,
Ji.
They were there already.
Allah, Allah.
So how did they go?
Subhanallah.
They went with the power of Nabuwat. So power of Nabuwat is over and above
Ji.
Every other power.
Ji.
Allah
Absolutely.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them such powers which are beyond our understanding,
Ji.
Beyond our estimation
yes.
and measurements.
Mufti Sahib, in today's era, in today's time, there are many, especially youngsters, who have this craze that they have this need for speed. Certain areas in Europe actually have no limits when it comes to speed, or no speed limits as well. If I could give a few facts, now here we're talking about dunya limits or dunya speed. We know that two journeys took place, one earthly journey and one heavenly journey. If you look at the fastest conveyances on earth, for example, the coffin on two wheels, they call the superbike. These go up to the speeds of 271 kilometers an hour. The fastest car has about 1200 horsepower. It goes up to 431 kilometers an hour. And the bullet trains go up to 300 kilometers per hour, or rather 300 miles per hour. If you look at the heavenly journey, then in the dunya context, the fastest plane that was built so far currently, and which was unmanned and launched not from the ground but from 40,000 feet above, reached the speeds of 11,000 or more than 11,000 kilometers an hour. The space shuttles that leave Earth, penetrate the atmosphere and go into outer space, they reach more than 40,000 kilometers per hour. And what can we say about the speed of light? They say this is the fastest thing on the Earth. The speed of light goes approximately 300,000 kilometers per second. Now, if you can put all these things on one side, and it's not possible actually to measure the speed of the buraq, the speed of the rough. These are nuri beings. These are lightful beings. Yes, on one side we can put the torque, the horsepower, twin turbos, Nos. But on the other side, this horse-like being of the Burak, we cannot measure its horsepower, because this is spiritual power and power of light, where as far as it can see, that is its first step.
Yes, you're 100% right. Now keep in mind the journey of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After Rafraf is also left behind, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam travels alone with the power of Nabuwat, with his own power.
Subhanallah.
And it proves his lightful reality, his being from the Noor of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. There were 70,000 veils.
Allah Allah.
And the thickness of one veil was equal to the journey of 500 years.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah.
So now imagine one veil,
Subhanallah.
One curtain, and then there are 70,000. So there's no Burak and there's no Rafraf.
Subhanallah.
So how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam travel in that area?
Unimaginable, actually.
Unimaginable.
Subhanallah.
I mean, the speed of light, which is calculated by the scientists,
yes,
which you have explained.
Ji.
That is the worldly light that they're talking about.
Yes, yes.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the light of every light.
Allahu Akbar. Absolutely.
As Mufassireen have said,
Ji.
Huwa Nurul Anwar.
Subhanallah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just the light.
Ji.
He is light of every light.
Subhanallah.
So wherever there is light in the universe,
Ji.
That is the generosity of our beloved Nabi sallallahu
alaihi wasallam.
You see the sun, you see the moon, you see the stars. You have light in your eyes and your brain.
Ji.
Everything comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The original source of light and nur is the personality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in this journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that at a certain point, I felt afraid and I felt lonely. Then I heard a voice, in the voice of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he said in his voice, Qif ya Muhammadu fa inna rabbaka yusalli. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please stop. Your Lord is performing salat or namaz.
Allah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I thought Abu Bakr reached before me at this place and my Lord is reading namaz. He is free from that.
Ji.
And when I heard that voice, my loneliness and fear was gone. And
why
then,
is this so much, sir? Why the voice of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala?
Ulama Ikram have said that to take that fear and loneliness away.
Ji.
You know, person that you are used to, that you are friend with,
Ji, Ji.
And you trust,
Subhanallah.
And you feel comfortable, Ji. In his company.
Subhanallah.
So when you hear his voice,
Ji.
Then you feel nice. Your fear is gone. So to strengthen the heart of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to empower him,
Ji.
And to take his loneliness away,
Ji.
That voice was produced or given,
Ji.
For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hear,
Ji.
In the voice of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu
ta'ala.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udnu ya Ahmadu, Udnu ya Muhammadu. That, O Ahmad, come closer. O Muhammad, come closer.
Subhanallah.
It is mentioned in Quran Kareem, Thumma dana fatadalla fakana qaba qawsaini aw adna.
Subhanallah.
Then the vision drew nearer. And then he came closer. So this was the distance of two hands, or rather less than that.
Mufti Sahib had mentioned that your Lord was performing Salah. What does this mean? Allah Azza wa Jal performing Salah, does it make sense? How do we understand this?
In actual fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did ask this question from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that I am free from performing Salat. I say, Subhani, Subhani, Sabakat, Rahmati, Ghadabi. It means that I am glorified. I am glorified. And my rahmat has exceeded over my anger.
Subhanallah.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to answer his query about the namaz, the word salat that was mentioned. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا.
Subhanallah.
My salat means my rahmat.
Allah.
So when it is mentioned, فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ يُصَلِّي, that surely your Lord is sending rahmat, sending salat upon you, O beloved.
Allah.
This is what it means.
Subhanallah.
And see the word Kaaba Qawsain, which is mentioned in Ayah Kareema. Kaaba means measurement,
okay,
or limits. And Qaws means bow. It's a complete reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows. But we can understand the closeness and the nearness, and very close and very near from this phrase which has been used in Quran-e-Kareem.
Well, sir, what is the wisdom actually in giving this kind of example, Qaba Qawsain?
Now, you must know that Quran is revealed in Arabic language, and Arabic dialogues and idioms are used in Quran-e-Kareem. It was culture in Arabia that when two chiefs of tribe, they declare peace with each other, or they sign a peace treaty, and these people were very committed. If they committed to peace, they will help each other.
Yes.
And if they become enemy, then they will be true enemy. So it was a culture that two leaders would get together and they will bring their bows close to each other.
Okay.
So close that they touch each other, and then they shoot the arrow. And this was a symbol that your friend is my friend.
Allah.
And your enemy is my enemy.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
So in this ayah kareema, there is indication towards that type of love and friendship.
Subhanallah.
So that, oh my beloved, your friend is my friend.
Subhanallah.
And your enemy is my enemy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, oh Allah, your friend is my friend.
Subhanallah.
And your enemy is my enemy.
Allah.
So this is the reason that this example of Kaaba Qawsain, it symbolizes the closeness, and on top of that, an agreement of friendship and standing together on one mission. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mission is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission is the mission of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Mufti Sahib, seeing that indeed this was a physical journey and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through and passed the different heavens, Sidratul Muntaha, and in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, some people may get this satanic whisper, waswasa, that Islam promotes anthropomorphism, where Allah Azza wa Jal has a physical structure, is a being with limbs, and resembles His creation, in the form of a structure?
No, not at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any form, from body or body parts. Therefore, we say that this divine meeting and this vision is beyond comprehension.
Subhanallah.
So there are no words which can explain. When people asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, فَرَعَيْتُ رَبِّي فِي أَحْسَنِ سُورَةٍ. I saw my Lord in the best way.
Subhanallah.
And there's no further explanation. Because we cannot understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed himself to his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way it suited him. The way it is suitable. And description of that, we are unable to give, we are unable to explain. Then the climax of this tour and this journey was to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in His proximity, to be close to Him. And that kafiyat, that situation, that condition cannot be described.
Allah.
And what we know is that normally when two friends meet, they exchange gifts. And there was exchange of gifts as well. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented his gift in the court of Allah azza wa jal. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu.
Subhanallah.
That all my bodily and my ibadat with my worship with tongue and with wealth is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave gift to his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace and Allah's mercy and His barakah be upon you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forget his ummah. So he included all of them.
Even they are thinking about us.
Yes, of course. He never forgot us. And he said, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi saliheen. That peace be upon all of us. And upon my pious ummatis who are the slaves and bondsmen of Almighty Allah. And when angels saw this beautiful dialogue between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they heard or they came to know, they said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh.
Subhanallah.
I bear witness that there is no worthy of worship but Allah. And I bear witness that surely Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his bondsman. And he is his Rasul, his messenger.
Subhanallah. And Ustaz, all Muslims in the world, more than 5 times a day, actually recite this in the form of tashahhud in their salah.
Yes. And we send salatu salam.
Subhanallah.
And we send this salam with the siga of khitab. That means you addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore to say, Ya Nabi salamu alayka, is 100% correct. Because you are saying that in namaz 5 times daily.
Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi.
Yes, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi.
Subhanallah.
And then comes the biggest gift. for the ummah. And that is the gift of salat.
Allah subhanallah.
As it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, ثم فردت علي الصلاة خمسين صلوات كل يوم. Then 50 namazes were made fard upon me for each day. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this gift. And he was coming down. And then he met Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did you get for your ummah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that 50 namazes.
Allah.
Musa alayhi salam said that your ummah will not be able to perform 50 namazes. I have lived before you. I know the nature of the people. Please go back and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give concession to decrease the number. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back and requested for concession, and concession was granted. The 10 namazes were minused. And then he came back and Musa alayhi salam met again. And he said, still there are 40. They will not be able to perform 40 namazes in a day. Please go back and ask for decrease in the number. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back. Then 10 were minused again. Then 30 are left. Then he came back. Musa alayhi salam gave the same argument. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back. Then again 10 were minused. Then it continued till 10 were left. And Musa alayhi salam still argued and he said, I know that your ummah will not be able to do that. Please go back and get the decrease in numbers. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, and then 5 namazes were decreased and 5 were left. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back and Musa alayhi wa sallam said, Inna ummataka la tastati'u khamsa salawatin kulla yawmin.
Allah.
That your ummah will not be able to perform 5 namazes every day. Go back and get decrees. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sa'altu Rabbi hatta istahyaitu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that now I feel shy. Then the 5 namazes were fixed. So this is the gift which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But keep in mind that although from 50 they became 5, but in thawab they are still the same. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha.
Subhanallah.
The one who does the good deed, the reward is equal to tenfold.
Subhanallah. Mean
that one, the original action which she has performed, and 9 thawab are added to that. So it becomes 10. So you read one namaz, it's equal to 10. So you read 5, they are equal to 50.
Allah.
Subhanallah. That's another blessing and gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He made it so easy for us that from 50 He made it 5. But look at His generosity through the sadaqah of His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that thawab is still the same.
The mercy of Allah is so great. Mufti Sahib, if somebody gives a gift to another and the recipient, if he does not appreciate this gift, how will the giver feel? And how true today that so many Muslims, or most Muslims, are not conscious about how important it is to establish the 5 daily salah through the wasila, through the mediation of Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, we have our five daily salah. Those who have a problem with the satanic whisper in denying wasila, mediation, they should rather perform 50 salah a day.
Yes, of course.
And there's another important fact. A person may get afflicted with this satanic whisper as well. That how is it that only Nabi Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, he realized that 50 salah is too many or too much. What about Allah Azza wa Jal, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Somebody thinks, didn't they understand that this is too much?
Well, this whole exercise was part of the divine plan. It was to, because the whole journey of Miraj is to show the greatness of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah.
This whole exercise is not about decreasing or increasing the number. Actually, to show the wisdom, to show that how close our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, to show his authority. I mean, first time he went through Burak and Raf Raf and all that. And each time now when he is coming and going, what mode of transportation is he using?
Subhanallah.
And then again, it shows accessibility in the court of Allah Azza wa
Jal.
That he can go, he can come. He can go, he can come. He can go, he can come. And also ulama ikram have said that each time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the manifestations of the beauty and the light of Allah Azza wa Jal would show from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be like the mirror of the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Musa alayhi salam desired to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his request was turned down.
Allah.
So today he had the opportunity to have that indirect vision of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, so he became the mean in between. So we also got benefit of that. That number decreased and it became easy. And Musa alayhi salam helped us in this way.
Subhanallah.
But this does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know that that's going to happen, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know that that's going to happen. It has different reasons and other beauties that are hidden in it. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you have heard the incident of Miraj and so many beautiful things we have learned in the process while we watching these programs, we listening these programs. Stay in touch with Madani channel, stay in touch with Dawat Islami. The whole purpose of this beautiful movement of Quran and Sunnah and the Madani channel is to educate Muslims, to give them accurate, correct knowledge. So wherever in the world you are, be part of Dawat Islami, be part of Madani channel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Although our silsilas are completed, but the Madani channel transmissions will not come to an end, inshallah. So there'll be many more beautiful programs and silsilas that daily you will have chance to listen in Urdu, in Arabic, in English, and in other languages as well. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, together we can bring the change. We can reform the society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the right path. Hafiz sahab, a closing statement from you.
Mufti sahab, as we heard so many fascinating, amazing incidences of this blessed journey of Mi'raj, where it seemed that time had stood still, time had paused, because the soul of the universe, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had left. When he re-entered, then everything came back. Time started again. Many people, they wish they could pause time and they could enjoy their life. They could stretch their life. But remember that you are living in real time and the remote of your life has no pause button. You have one chance and one moment. As long as you are alive, prepare for your akhirah. Prepare for the qabr. Prepare for the grave. Because once a person passes away, the angel of death, alayhi salam, takes its soul, snatches that soul out of the body. There is no chance then. Today is the day of action. And tomorrow is the day of accountability. Every word, every deed, every action, you will be accountable for. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islam is giving us this Madani Dhahn, this Islamic mindset to prepare for the journey ahead to the Qabr and the hereafter.
Very beautifully said. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in Hadith Mubarakah, Ad-Dunya Mazra'atul Akhirah.
Allah.
Dunya is the farm of Akhirah.
Ji.
So whatever you're going to sow,
Ji.
Your crop would be ready and you will cut that crop in the Akhirah. So you plant the seed of goodness,
Ji.
Piety, taqwa,
Inshallah.
Virtues, then you will enjoy the sweet fruit of it.
Inshallah. Ameen.
And you plant the seed of a bitter tree,
Allah.
Sins, wrongdoings,
A'udhu billahi min dhalik.
Then you will have a thorny tree,
Ji.
Grown up standing and with fruits that you would be unable to swallow.
Ji.
And then you would be cursing yourself and it would be too late. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq and chance to reform our lives.
Ameen.
May we become good Muslims, pious Muslims, practical Muslims, and show the beauty of Islam to the world.
Ameen.
Through our character. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وہ سرور کشور رسالت جو عرش پر جلوہ گر ہوئے تھے نئے نرالے طرب کے ساما عرب کے مہمان کے لیے تھے وہ سرور کشور رسالت جو عرش پر جلوہ گر ہوئے تھے جلوں میں جو مرغ عقل اڑے تھے عجب برے حالوں گرتے پڑتے جلوں میں جو مرغ عقل اڑے تھے عجب برے حالوں گرتے پڑتے اسی راہی پر رہے تھے تھک کر چڑھا تھا دم تیور آ گئے تھے سدھ رہی پر رہی تھی تھک کر چڑھا تھا دم تیور آ گئے تھے
Words of intellect, who is a group of angels who were flying with the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They fell upon each other because of huge crowd, high speed and tiredness. And they stayed at Sidra. They could not go further. They were breathing heavily. Their heads were spinning. And they had a blackout.
Kavi the murghan wa hum ke pal ure tode mein kor dam bhar kavi the murghan wa hum ke pal ure tode mein kor dam bhar uthaye thi ne kiye thi dhokar ke khoon andesha thookte the اٹھائی سینے کی ایسی ٹھوکر کہ خون اندیشہ تھوکتے تھے
Though the arms and the wings of the birds of imagination were strong, they flew for a while, but after a few moments, they got such severe blow on their chest, and with the fear of that blow, they were vomiting blood.
سنا اتنے میں عرش حق نے قلعے مبارک تاج والے سنا اتنے میں عرش کے ہاتھ نے قلعے مبارک وہ تاج والے وہی قدم خیر سے پھرائے جو پہل تاج شرف تیرے تھے وہی قدم خیر سے پھرائے جو پہل تاج شرف تیرے تھے
The throne, the arsh got the message. O throne, congratulations to you. The possessor of crown, the king of Makkah and Medina, is going to bless you with his Mubarak feet. And this privilege was a crown of your distinction already.
جھکا تھا مجرے کو عرش اعلی گرے تھے سجدے میں بزم بالا جھکا تھا مجرے کو عرش اعلی گرے تھے سجدے میں بزم بالا یہ آنکھ قدموں سے مرزغا تھا وہ گرد قربان ہو رہے تھے یہ آنکھ قدموں سے مل رہا تھا وہ گرد قربان ہو رہے تھے
عرش اعظم bowed down to salute and the angels of heavens fell down in prostration. عرش اعظم was rubbing its eyes on the blessed feet of the beloved and angels were making tawaf of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was sacrificing on him.
Ziyai kuchhe arsh par ke aai ke saare qandil ke bilai Ziyai kuchhe arsh par ke aai ke saare qandil ke bilai Huzoor khurshid cha چراغ اپنا دیکھتے تھے حضور خورشید کیا چمکتے چراغ اپنا دیکھتے تھے
Such rain of light came on the arsh because of the arrival of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the light of all the chandeliers went dim as it happens to a lamp in front of the shining sun. What kind of light a lamp can produce in front of a sun? Lamps were looking at each other's faces with embarrassment.
یہی سما تھا کہ پیک رحمت خبر جلایا کہ چلی حضرت یہی سما تھا کہ پیک رحمت خبر یہ لایا کہ چل گئے حضرت تمہاری خاطر کشادہ ہے جو کلیم پر بند راستے تھے تمہاری خاطر کشادہ ہے جو کلیم پر بند راستے تھے
The envoy of mercy came immediately and requested, O my master, please let's go. All the paths are open up for you, which were closed upon Musa alayhi salam. He was told, Lan tarani, you cannot see me, but you are blessed with the divine meeting and the vision of Almighty Allah.
بڑے محمد قریب وحمد قریب یا سرور ممجد بڑے محمد قریب وحمد قریب یا سرور ممجد نثار جہاں یہ کیا ندا تھی یہ کیا سما تھا یہ کیا مزے تھے نثار جہاں یہ کیا ندا تھی یہ کیا سما تھا یہ کیا
O my beloved Muhammad, come forward. O Ahmad, get closest to me. O King of the Kings, O my dearest beloved. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, May I be sacrificed on you, O beloved. What a lovely voice was that. What a pleasureful situation was that. What would be the feeling? It can't be imagined.
Tabarakallah tujhi ko de maange meri aadi tabah kar shaan teri tujhi ko de ma he meri aadi kahi to wo chote lantarani kahi taqaz visal ke the कहीं तो वो जोशी लंतरानी कहीं तकाजे विसाल के थे.
O Allah Azza wa Jal, you are glorified and full of blessings. You are carefree. Carefreeness suits you only. How wonderful your works are. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam requested to have your vision. And you said, O Musa, you cannot see me. And the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not request for your vision. His every request was always for the forgiveness of Ummat. But you called him in your nearness and blessed him with your didar, with your vision. This shows that you are samad, you are carefree.
خیرت سے کہہ دو کس طرح جھکا لے گماں سے گزرے گزرنے والے. خیرت سے کہہ دو کس طرح جھکا لے گماں سے گزرے گزرنے والے. پڑے ہیں یہاں خود جگر کو لال کسے بتائے کدھر گئے تھے. پڑے ہیں یہاں خود جگر کو لال کسے بتائے کدھر گئے تھے.
Say to the intellect, in which thoughts you are lost. You cannot understand this event. Bow your head down in submission, because those who wanted to go are gone already at that place whereby the six directions are lost. Front, back, right, left, top, bottom. He, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went there where there is no direction and no place and no physical bodies. There is light only. Dearest viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again you heard these beautiful couplets and ash'ar of Qasida Miraajia of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Nabbarallahu Marqadahu wa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will come back to you with few more ash'ar and couplets. We will complete Qasida Miraajia. So keep watching Madani channel, then you will be able to hear those beautiful ash'ar which are still left and not read out yet and not explained yet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the path of sunnah, the path of salat, and the path of his love and the love of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ميراج النبي ميراج النبي special things did our beloved prophet see. ميراج النبي ميراج النبي the leader imam al-anbiya was he.